Guys, be seated. Proud of you. Awesome. Amen. We're in the series Summer on the Mount. Last week we talked about the Beatitudes, not to have an attitude, right? But we talked about the Beatitudes, the lessons that Jesus preached on the mountain. And we've already established who are summer people and who are not summer people. We've already covered that, so we're not going to go there again, right? We're just going to pray that God gives grace to those who are not summer people in the house today. I'm just picking. Today we are talking about you are the salt of the earth, and the title of this one is Stay Salty, My Friends. Stay salty, my friends. Turn to your neighbor and say, stay salty. Now, we had a little discussion in the foyer earlier, and just out of curiosity, I want by a show of hands to see how many of you eat watermelon with salt. I mean, I'm just trying to see where am I at. Oh man, I am outnumbered. All right, to those of you who do not eat watermelon with salt, who think that's disgusting, lift your hands. Yes, thank you. Well, the few of us. We're going to have a prayer line afterwards, and for all of you guys who still believe that watermelon is great with salt, we're going to speak deliverance over you in the mighty name of Jesus. You're going to be free from your old ways, amen, and the Lord is just going to move in this place. I'm just picking. If you want salt with your melon, go ahead and eat it. I mean, praise the Lord. He made salt, he made the watermelon. All right. We can learn to agree to disagree, right? We can still demonstrate the love of Christ one toward another, even if we're different, right? Amen. So if we were all the same, we wouldn't have this joke this morning, because everybody would not eat salt with watermelon, right? All right, moving right along. So we're in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. It says, "You are the salt of the earth." Now, to whom Jesus is speaking? In the chapter before, in Matthew chapter 4, there was a crowd that had gathered to come and hear of Jesus. He had done many miracles in Syria, and he was healing paralytics, and he was healing all those who were afflicted by the enemy. And they were just so intrigued that they wanted to come and hear of the Master. They wanted to come and hear of Jesus. And so there's this big crowd, and if you're going to speak to a crowd, no better way to do it than from a mountain, right, where your voice can echo, and it's kind of like a natural auditorium. And so Jesus, he's instructing the crowd. In Matthew 4, I just want to read that chapter real quick. Matthew 4, 24 says, "So his fame spread through all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them all." How many of you guys believe that Jesus is still in the business of healing? Amen? I prayed with several people this morning, and we're believing God, that God will heal your body and that God will heal your friend's body. We're believing that in the name of Jesus, that God is still God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe that you have the same power that Jesus had, because Jesus is in you. And so if you lay hands on the sick and believe with a prayer of faith that they will recover, amen, we truly believe that, because as salt, we are to affect the earth. Interesting thing about salt and food. How many guys just love to eat, right? You just love food. You love the food in the South, right? There's very few places that are better than the food in Louisiana, right? And in fact, Louisiana is one of the top five places in the United States for good food. And if you've been elsewhere, you can attest to the fact that, yeah, Louisiana has the best food. And I think major reason is because we like our salt, right? Anybody ever been to a crawfish bowl and man, they start mixing in the Louisiana Zatarans or whatever it is that you put it in into the crawfish pot? You throw in the jalapenos and everything else, and then you start adding the salt, right? And some guys would be like, oh, that's about right. Let's add a little bit more. Oh, let's just empty the box, right? Because we like our salt. Oh, let's grab another box and throw that in there as well, because, you know, we like our salt. That's probably why we have so many CIS, Cardiovascular Institute of the Cells, here in Louisiana, but that's a different story. We like our salt. We like our food to be salty. So Jesus tells them a very peculiar thing. He says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. How did they become salt? They were just in attendance. They were hearing Jesus. They had seen his miracles. They believed. They had faith. They came to hear. So we learned that the only thing that they did, the only thing that qualified them to be salt in the earth was the fact that they had faith. And faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. We see in Romans chapter 10, 17. So faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of Christ Jesus. So they became salt by faith. You know, faith is something that we don't earn. We don't do enough good things to obtain God's favor in our life. We're not good enough. We can never be good enough to earn our salvation. To be the flavor of this world, to be the thing that preserves this earth, it simply comes by faith, but believing in Jesus, receiving him as your Lord and your Savior. And so we become salt simply by faith in Christ. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus makes us salty. Jesus makes us salty, amen. And so when you think about the life of Christ, man, he has some salt in him, right? Everywhere that he went, salt, what does salt do? It affects. When you throw that in the gumbo, all of a sudden, man, those flavors begin to pop out of that gumbo. You throw that in the red beans and rice, and man, I'm getting hungry right now just thinking about it, but it makes those flavors just pop and just come out. It enhances the flavors in that particular meal, whatever it is. And so it is with salt, and so it is what Jesus is telling this crowd. It says, you are the salt of the earth. As believers in Christ, you are to affect the earth. You are to bring a seasoning, a flair. You are to bring whatever it is that affects the earth, whether that's on your job, at school, at camp coming up this week. You are the salt of the earth. You are to affect other people around you. There's going to be other teenagers at this camp who are probably not saved. But yet, young people, you have this opportunity to be salt, to affect them by your love that you have for God, by your passion that you have whenever you worship, whenever you lift up your hands and you sing hallelujah with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And someone next to you who's just going through a rough time and a rough season in their life sees you lifting their hands. And then all of a sudden, you begin to affect that person because you are salty. You have a passionate relationship with the Lord. Now, I haven't been perfect, but I've been salty now for about 26 years. And man, I've been living for the Lord for 26 years. And I believe that as long as we are connected to Jesus, we will remain salty. He's the one who makes us salty. It is because whenever he came to the earth, he began to affect his environment around him. Everywhere he went, people were healed. The lame walked. You know, the blind were able to see. He just affected everyone around him. I want to be that person. Amen. Do you want to be that person this morning? Like everywhere you go, people see the love of Christ on the inside of you. You're working out in the gym, and it's all for the glory of God. Amen. And people see, hey, man, there's something different about this guy. That's because you're salt, and you're meant to affect the earth. Amen. So Jesus makes us salty. Salt is not to remain in a box. You know, if I have like a little thing of salt, everybody got the salt? Everybody got like their little free sample of salt? After church, we'll get your free sample of salt after church. So if I was just to take this salt and just to keep it right here, it's not going to do me any good, right? But if I take that salt and begin to actually sprinkle it into the gumbo, then it starts to bring out the flavor. If you leave your salt in the box, it's worthless. It's worthless salt. It's not going to do anything for anybody. But you were meant to affect the earth. You were not meant to leave your salt in here. Let's just say that this box is here in the church. We come to church. We're excited. We have the passion for the Lord, right? We're worshiping. Guess what? You're not meant to leave the salt in here. The salt is to go with you. The salt is to affect the world around you. And so it's not to remain in a box. In Bible days, one of the main reasons of salt, and there were many, but one of the main reasons was to preserve food. And so they didn't have the fancy refrigerators that we have today where you can talk to your refrigerator and you can program your refrigerator and you can play video games on your refrigerator. They didn't have all these fancy different things. They had salt. And salt was a preservative. It was to keep that meat lasting longer, right? Then would you not use salt? So it was to preserve. It acts as a preserver. Now, I think about this, and I think about the story of Abraham. Whenever God revealed to Abraham, look, I am about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, Abraham had a nephew there. His nephew was Lot. And God tells Abraham, look, I am about to destroy it. And then Abraham's like, God, surely you wouldn't destroy it if you found 50 righteous people. God's like, you know what? I'm not going to destroy Sodom if I found 50 righteous people. Then Abraham starts thinking, you know, he starts doing the math. He's like, well, there might not be 50 people. God, would you spare Sodom if there was only 45 people? God's like, I'm not going to destroy Sodom if there was 45 righteous people that were found. Abraham begins to think a little bit more. He's like, God, he goes all the way down to like 10, you know, because he's like losing hope very quickly. He's like, God, what about 10? If there were 10 righteous people, would you destroy Sodom? God's like, I'm not going to destroy Sodom if there were 10 righteous people. The point is this, that God would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah if there had been 10 righteous people. God would have preserved Sodom and Gomorrah if there had been 10 righteous people. Do you realize, Christian, that you are meant to preserve the earth? That the reason God hasn't destroyed the earth yet is because of you. You are a preservative in the earth. You're a preservative in your family, on your job, wherever you are. God said, I would have spared them if I found 10 righteous. For the sake of the righteous, for the sake of those who love me and live according to my laws, I would have spared everyone else. Everyone else around you benefits because of your relationship with the Lord. Your family benefits because you are salt in the earth. And that's what God has called you. He has called you to preserve the word of God, that you are to pass it on. You are to pass on the things that God has taught you. You are to pass it on to your kids. You are to pass it on to your neighbor's kids. You are to pass it on to the next generation. You are to preserve them. The word of God preserves us. And so we continue this. We continually pass it on and pass it on. And salt preserves. It brings about life. And so does the word of God. So we see one of the reasons for salt is that it's a preservative. Now, how many of you guys know that we actually need salt in our bodies? We need approximately 500 milligrams of salt each and every day. And so I see many of you smiling now. I'm like, yes, I get to eat salt. The preacher said I can have salt, so bring on the salt. 500 milligrams, that's what people are saying we need. And what that does is it helps our muscles contract and relax. It helps us to balance out water and minerals. And so the point is that salt is necessary. So Jesus is telling them, look, you are necessary. You are called to preserve. You're called to affect the generation around you. So turn to your neighbor and say, you are necessary. You are called to affect, and you are called to preserve. Amen. As salt, and that's what salt does. It affects its surroundings. You are necessary. You are necessary. The Lord, he has saved you for a particular reason. And he has brought you even to your occupation, to the place that you work for a particular reason. They need to see someone who is salty. They need to be affected by your saltiness. Amen. So the reason why you're a clerk at Rouse's or whatever it is that you may be, is because the Lord ordained you to be a clerk at Rouse's. And so you are to be salty as you're checking out people for the glory of God. Amen? And so wherever you find yourself, stay salty, my friends. Stay salty. Jesus says, but, and this is where it gets quite interesting. He says, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Wait, what did we just read? Let's read it again. He says, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? it's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. It's, if salt has lost its taste, what are we talking about? What is Jesus trying to say right here? Remember, he says, you are the salt of the earth. So we're not simply talking about salt, losing salt that you put in the gumbo, but he's talking about people losing their saltiness. He's talking about people. If people lose that which makes them different, if people lose that which God has placed in you to affect the earth, if people lose that, then what he says, that is to be trampled, to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of man. It's worthless, is what he would say. It's worthless salt. And this is a hard saying. It's hard to understand. God, what are you saying? If we've lost our salt, if we lost our saltiness, is it over for us? I mean, is that it? I want to read a couple of other scriptures very similar to this. In John 15, 1 through 6, he says, I am a branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So now we see saltiness that has lost its salt. We see a branch that does not bear fruit. It says, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and are burned. So the fruitless branch is gathered, and it's thrown into the fire. The saltless salt, what is the saltless salt? It is thrown away, and it's trampled underfoot. So we see this same type of idea. A fruitless branch, saltless salt, both are headed to destruction. So to answer the question, is a person forever banished if they have lost their saltiness? Well, let's consider something. Consider several things. Sodium chloride, that which is makes up salt, NaCl, it's extremely stable, and it never loses its saltiness. It's only in Eastern countries where salt is mixed with other compounds that makes the salt impure, that makes the salt worthless. Are you getting this morning? Because when we think about Christ, he is the pure and authentic salt of our lives. He comes into our lives and he changes us by his power. But it's when we allow other things, other compounds to come in place of Jesus that makes us impure, that makes us worthless. We allow things to replace Jesus in our lives. We become like impure salt that has to be cast aside. How shall our saltiness be restored? Perhaps you're in that place this morning and you're like, you know what? I feel like I have lost my saltiness. I have gotten to this place where I feel like I'm no longer effective as a Christian. I'm no longer demonstrating the love of Christ in my life. I no longer have passion. I no longer have love. I no longer have peace. I've lost all these things that were once so dear to me. 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 17 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So here we see that whenever we begin to love the world and the things of this world, we begin to lose our saltiness for the kingdom of God. That passion, that love that you once had for God is now for other things, other people. Continuing, he says, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but it's from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. I want to read one more passage that's very similar to what we are reading this morning. It's in Hebrews chapter 6, 4 through 11. It says, for it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying again the Son of God to their own harm and holding him to contempt. For the land that has drunk the rain that often falls on it and produces a crop useful to those whose sake is cultivated receives a blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it is worthless and near to be cursed, and its end is to be burned. So again, we see that the same type of idea of this person who has once been enlightened, who falls away. They have tasted. They have tasted of the goodness of God. Just like a person who was once salty and they were once effective in the earth. In Hebrews, we see that that person that has fallen away. In our scripture today, we see that they have lost their saltiness. In Hebrews, it says they bear thorns and thistles. They're worthless. They to be burned. But the salt is to be thrown away and trampled. And at this point, you must think, man, there's no hope for me. But then verse 9 comes in the book of Hebrews. And so I think this helps us to really understand something here. That's what we deserve, okay? From 1 to 8, that's what we deserve. Whenever on our good efforts, our good works, they amount to nothing. We cannot earn our salvation. That's what we deserve. We deserve to be trampled. We deserve to be thrown away. We deserve to be thrown into the lake of fire because of our sins. That's what we deserve. But verse 9 says, though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things. We feel sure of better things, things that belong to salvation. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints, as you still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end. I'm thankful for better things, amen. I'm thankful for the gift of salvation. We deserve to be trampled. And how many guys, I mean, I have fallen short of the glory of God since I've been saved. I have messed up. I have not gotten it right. I have not been perfect. There have been times I've lost my passion. There have been times I've lost my love for the Lord. Well, not for the Lord, but for people. There have been times when I've been in those situations, those dry places. But what was the key? The key is not in my works. The key is in the fact that there's greater things. Amen. That there's salvation. What is salvation? It's God intervening for man. Amen. Through his son, Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, we're doomed. Without the work of the cross, we have no hope. But let me tell you, since the day that Christ came to the earth, until the day that he returns, there is this dispensation of grace. Amen. Where though we don't get it right all the time, and though we may fall, and though you may have moments where you lose your saltiness, though you may have moments where you feel like you're ineffective, you're not doing that which you used to do, there's grace. There's grace at the foot of the cross, amen? He can restore your saltiness. He can restore that which makes you valuable. He can restore that which makes you, you. Man, my heart breaks because in the last 6 months, I guess, I've run into countless of my friends who used to be on fire for God. I mean, used to love the Lord with all the heart, soul, mind, and strength. And now they're no longer serving the Lord. They've completely walked away from him. They lost their saltiness. They let the things of this world get them down. They let unbelief sit in their hearts to where they're no longer even serving God. They completely walked away. Anybody in this place, just a show of hands, how many of you know someone in your life who has walked away from the Lord? They lost the saltiness. I'm thankful for verses that we are about to read because I want you to know it's not over. Even if you're in this place today and you feel like you've lost your saltiness, you've lost your effectiveness, it is not over. I want to prove it just by a couple of scriptures. Revelations chapter 2, 3 to 6. This is John writing to the church. There's a church in the end time. the church of Ephesus, and they walk away from their passion for the Lord. And John tells them, well, Jesus tells John to write this. He says, I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. And so now we see not only someone who has lost salt, their saltiness. They used to have a love for the Lord. They used to have a passion for the Lord. But in Revelations, it says they lost that. So all this doctrine that's going around that says, once you're saved, you're always saved. I don't agree with that. Because we see evidence in Scripture of people losing their passion for the Lord. They're losing their love for the Lord, and they follow after other things. And that's throughout the Bible. He says, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore. So there's a solution. It's not hopeless. It doesn't end here. It says, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. In other words, there is a moment in your life that you can trace back to. This is what led to my downfall. This is what caused me to not be salty anymore. This is what robbed me of my saltiness. Go back there. Remember, therefore, where it was that you've lost your saltiness. And then what he says, repent. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen, and repent. And do the works you did at first. Remember whenever you were first saved and how passionate you were for the Lord? He says, go and do those things that you did at the beginning. How you used to spend time in the Word. You used to spend time in prayer. You used to worship Him. You used to have those moments of intimate relationship with Him. Go and do those things that you did at first that made you salty, that made you different, that made you affect those around you. Go and do those things again. Get back to your first love. Repent. Repent is what he says. Like you're not walking in the right direction. You're going the wrong way. He would say, repent and do those things. And then to make the analogy one more time, he says, and do the works you did at first. If not, so there's a consequence, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. So now we see a lampstand that is meant to bring about light. A lampstand not shining. Salt not salty. A branch that's not bearing fruit. Unless you repent. Other scriptures in James chapter 5, 19 to 20, it says, my brothers, he's talking to church people. He's talking to people who are in Christ. If anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. My brothers, if someone among you wanders from the truth, then your job as a believer is to bring them back so that they can be reconciled to God. What do we find? We find grace. We find forgiveness. And it says the sinner will be saved from his wandering and will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. But if you're like me, I don't want to get to the place where I'm trying to regain my saltiness. I want to stay salty. Amen? I want to stay salty each and every day. I don't want to lose my saltiness. I want to stay salty. So how do we do that? How do we stay salty? And I think we go back to John chapter 15 where he's talking about the branch. And he talks about, look, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you abide in me and I in you, you will bear fruit is what he says. And so the way that we are to stay salty is abiding in him. And so there was this guy, he came across a salt cluster. His name was Henry Mundrell. And he broke it open. Before he broke it open, he grabbed some of the salt that was on the outside of this rock cluster. Now, this rock cluster had gone through extreme heat, wind, and just survived all kind of different natural things that you know a rock would experience. And so on the outside of this salt cluster, there was no salt. Like there was salt, it looked like salt, but it didn't taste like salt. It had lost its flavor. But then he cracked open the salt. And he realized that there was like this rock cluster in the middle of this. And so then he took his finger and he scooped it up. And the salt that was connected to the rock was salty. Did you get that? The salt that was connected to the rock remained salty. I'm here to tell you that you're going to go through hard times in this life, and that wind is going to beat against you. That sun is going to beat against you. The rain will come against you. You will face difficult times in this life, but if you are founded on the rock, if you are founded on Jesus Christ, you will remain salty in the earth. Amen? You're going to remain salty. You have to stay connected to the rock. You have to stay connected to the source of our saltiness. And so what does that mean for you? Well, are you reading God's word? Not just reading, but allowing God to speak to you. Are you spending time with him? Are you worshiping? Are you praying? Are you gathering on a daily basis as often as you can with other believers to sharpen your faith? Look, we have to stay salty. We must stay salty, you know, to affect this generation. Because if not, look around, because television is affecting this generation. Social media is affecting this generation. Culture is affecting this generation. And we need people who will be salt of the earth. People who says, I am not going to lose my flavor because I am connected to the rock. I am connected to Jesus. I am going to affect those around me. I am meant to preserve not only my lineage, but those around me. I will tell them about Jesus because he has the truth that we can stand upon. Amen? Stay salty, my friends. And so I'm going to maybe do this illustration. You know, as you get one of these, you can be reminded. You can sprinkle it on your spouse and say, stay salty, whatever it is you want to do. But if I was to take just a little bit of salt and just kind of eat it, it's pretty good, right? And you could put salt on anything, like I talked about, except watermelon. Yeah, you don't want to do that. We'll pray for you. But one thing, you start mixing salt with other things that are not meant to go together. You start mixing Christianity with worldliness, you will lose your saltiness. You start going after the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You're going to lose your saltiness. You know, if I was to take this and just kind of pour it in water. Anybody ever did this? You know, your parents made you do this as a kid. Salt water and gargle. They say gargle for like 10 minutes or whatever. It's going to help with your sore throat. If I just took a swig of this. Ugh. Ugh. That's terrible. It's terrible. My goodness. Don't do that. Here's the thing. Don't do that. Don't mix salt. The pureness of Jesus. Don't mix it with anything else. He alone is able. He alone is pure. He alone is true. He alone is the cornerstone. He alone is the foundation. Don't mix Christianity with worldliness. Stay salty. And don't mix water with salt and drink it, because that's terrible. My goodness. Ugh. But I pray that you will get the message today, that you would know what it means, that God has called you. You are necessary. You are meant to affect the world around you, and you are called to preserve a godly heritage. Amen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please? Heavenly Father, we come before you, O Lord, and we thank you for this word. We thank you, God, that you are instructing your people, Lord, to remain salty. And I pray, Lord, my prayer is for those in this place who have lost their saltiness. They have lost their effectiveness, Lord God, as Christians. And some don't even believe that they are Christians anymore because of their past sins that you have given us through the cross of Jesus Christ. And I declare right now, Lord, that they are set free from the bondage of condemnation in the name of Jesus. Lord, that right now we receive your forgiveness of our sins. And that you are making us whole. You did not come into this world to condemn this world, but that the world through you might be saved. So Lord, for those who are dealing with condemnation, we come against that right now in the name of Jesus. And we declare, rise up, O Christian. Rise up, O man of God. Rise up, O woman of God, and be salt in the midst of the earth. Begin to affect your generation. Begin to affect your peers. Begin to affect those around you. Don't be like the water that waters down the salt, but affect them for righteousness. Affect them, make a difference for the kingdom of God in the lives around you. Lord, help us, Lord, to do this, to remain salty in our lives. Not just today, not just on Sunday, God, whenever we're feeling it, but like on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, whenever we don't feel like going to work, but Lord, that we would remain salty. God, and we can only do this as we are connected to you, as we are, as the branch is connected to the vine, God, that we, the salt, would be connected to the rock of Jesus Christ. Lord, that we would remain in you, that we would abide in you and us. We thank you and we give you all the praise and all the glory in this place. Perhaps you've lost your saltiness and you just want your saltiness restored. Would you just come to the altar just for a moment? We're just going to, as you come, just lift up your hands and just receive what the Lord would have for you, that he would refresh you this morning, that he would reignite a passion on the inside of you, that he would stir you up. If that's you, come on, I know it's going to take some boldness. I know you have to get out of your comfort zone, but would you do it? Jesus hung on the cross for you openly and unashamed, and he invites you this morning, if you have lost your saltiness, to come and receive it again. Receive it again in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for whoever it may be. God, you know. I thank you, Lord, for restoring our saltiness, restoring our effectiveness in the earth, in our families, on the jobs. God, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. And let God's people say amen and amen. Amen. Don't forget to grab your salt on the way out. Sprinkle it on your neighbor and tell them, be salty. Stay salty, my friends. Amen.